Yesterday, we talked about families that have to hold interventions to get their relatives into detox, but only one person can really decide to break the cycle of addiction, and that's the addict, him or herself. So once a person agrees to go into treatment, the first step is often detox. What does it really mean physically and emotionally? Joseph Cotton and Phil Allen are here to tell us more. Joseph teaches a life skills class at the Los Angeles Center for Alcohol and Drug Abuse, and Phil Allen is a certified addiction specialist at the Pat Moore Foundation. Gentlemen, thanks for being with us.
Glad to be here.
So am I.
Joseph, let me start with you. You have walked a road struggling with addiction from the time you were 9 and sneaking alcohol from your father's liquor cabinet. So what made you decide to get help, and when did you get help?
Well, about 3 years ago, I decided to get help. And actually, it wasn't really a decision I really consciously made. It was because of the fact that my health issues kind of forced me into a program to start getting help.
What kind of health issues?
I'm HIV positive, and I have I'm plagued with having chickenpox every year. What they call them, herpes zoster, but you know, I keep catching that.
Right. Now, when you decided, alcohol, there are different substances that have different types of detox. So when you decided, okay, I've got to stop drinking, what did your body go through?
Well, actually, I went through the, the kind of the shakes, the sweats, the insomnia, and actually the mental effect of it.
What was the mental effect?
Because the craving to always, the obsession to always want to take that drink. You know, that's the hardest part to detox, is the obsession to take that drink.
Phil, you also struggled with addiction. So what was it like, what were you using, and what was it like to stop?
I was using cocaine in various forms, and, wanting to get that high, and then when I decided that I wanted to stop, as far as detoxing off of cocaine compared to detoxing off of alcohol, it was a lot different. The difference of detoxing off of cocaine, it basically worked a lot different on the body than it did, than the alcohol did.
So what was it like for you?
As far as detoxing?
Yeah, Phil, yeah. Some people have said, and I don't know if this is true, that cocaine is more of a psychological addiction than a physical addiction.
Yeah, that was what it was for me also. Yeah, more psychological than physical. Because like I said, when I was detoxing off of the alcohol, my body really went through a lot of changes physically. But when I was detoxing off of the cocaine, it didn't take me that long as far as the physical point was. But the mental point on detoxing mentally, it took me almost a year.
Now, I'm going to ask each of you this. Phil, I'll start with you.
Okay.
What is it that you do to help other people now that you've walked your road?
Well, we do a medically assisted detoxification program that I oversee. we try to help people to keep them comfortable while they're going through this process. It's not a hospital setting. It's more of a social model support setting, but we are able to use some medications. We've had some great advances in some medications to help people through detoxification, and I'm sure the other guest remembers 20, 30 years ago, you would just be sick, the relapse with the detox was just incredible. So we're seeing a lot more people able to complete detox and be able to engage in a program of recovery by the use of these medications that are available now.
One of the things about working on this series that we're doing about addiction has been really noting the bravery of people in telling their own stories. What did you have to do to really listen to yourself and listen to what you needed as a person? Was that part of what you went through, is really taking an accounting of who you were and what you were doing?
Well, I think that was the last time I detoxed. I was 40 years old, and I had done it prior to that at 20. And what I just, it came to the point where I realized that it was, that I had a wasted life, and I had been struggling with polysubstance abuse for well over 30 years. And for lack of a better term, it was a young man's game. And I realized that that there was hope for me. I'd had a lot of good people had intervened in my life over the years. And so I became willing to engage in a program of recovery. I became willing to take advice and listen to others. And I think that was the first step for me, was really hitting a place of total despair and hopelessness. And from that point, I was able to find hope.
Phil, before I go back to Joseph, so Phil, you mentioned medication. What kind of medications are there to help with detoxing?
Well, my detox experience was, all I had available to me was 2 Tylenol every 4 hours. And as a recovering heroin addict, and if anybody's out there listening who's been there, they'll know that water does a better job. But now we have what we use are the buprenorphines, Subutex and Suboxone. Suboxone is an absolute miracle drug. It enables a client to, it really lessens, I won't say eliminates, but it really lessens all the effects of detoxification for opiates, the nausea, the high anxiety, the muscle aches, the diarrhea, all of those that, if you've ever watched a Hollywood movie, that you see people experience. And the benefit of that is, one is they'll stay in detox. So you have your people leaving against medical advice. AMA is a lot lower now. If we can't get them to stay in complete detox, then you can't get them to stay and do treatment. And I have watched people who have a 20-year history of opiate abuse go through this protocol, and they are able to go to the gym in 3 or 4 days, where that used to be a week. It would be several weeks before an individual could engage in that type of activity.
Well, let me go to you, Joseph. You teach life skills.
Uh-huh.
What does that mean? What are you teaching specifically?
Excuse me. Well, basically what it means is that, we're teaching the addict how to get back into the mainstream of life. Once you become an addict, you really forget the different life skills it is to progress in life. You just stop growing and you stop learning, and you really forget a whole lot of things that you learned as a child.
Is it important to have, I guess what I'm thinking is, what you're doing is reaching out to people. But what do you do when someone doesn't want to be reached, when maybe a friend or a family member sends them to detox, but they're not really committed?
Well, if the person is not really committed, you're not going to be able to force them, the only thing that you can do is just sit and talk to them and tell them what the different consequences is, as far as physically and mentally, that the drug has on them, and hope that something that you might be able to say would click in their head to get them to at least think about it. That's the thing. You have to give them something to at least think about it. Not make that decision, but at least think about it.
Well,
Phil,
I think one of the...
Please go ahead.
I think one of the things that... One of the conceptions out there is that you can't help an addict if he doesn't want help. And to some extent, that's true. However, he's an addict, and he can't make that choice. And I believe that this is a life-threatening disease. This kills people every single day. It kills people every month that I know of. It's killed every member of my wife's family. And I believe that we do whatever it takes to get them into treatment, to get them into detox. I don't think we wait until they ask, because they never will. And Father Martin has a quote that I like to use, which is, you can lead a horse to water and you can't make him drink, but sometimes you can make him pretty damn thirsty. I think that we need to use whatever, the family members need to use whatever's at their disposal to get the person to detox and leave it to the professionals to hopefully get them engaged. But if it takes blackmail or, you know, whatever it takes, let's get them in there and save their lives.
Well, on that note, Phil and Joseph, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We were speaking with Phil Allen, the director and CEO of the Pat Moore Foundation. He is also a certified addiction specialist. He joined us from KUCI in Irvine, California. And Joseph Cotton, he teaches life skills to recovering drug addicts at the Los Angeles Center for Alcohol and Drug Abuse.